Today is Monday, June 8th. What to know about the effort to defund the police, why some protesters have made that their rallying cry, and which city's leaders are answering their call. We'll explain perspectives from both sides of a debate now in the national spotlight. Also, which countries seem to be doing worse and much better in dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. Plus, the NFL commissioner's reversal, Reddit's co-founder resigns, and a decade-old hidden treasure discovered. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. As some protesters call to defund the police, leaders in a few cities seem to be listening. The Minneapolis City Council is now promising to dismantle the police department and create a new public safety system altogether. And the mayors in both Los Angeles and New York City say they'll redirect millions of dollars away from the police departments and put them toward other community programs. These aren't done deals just yet, so we'll break down what we know so far and what both sides of this debate are saying about it. First, in Minneapolis, 9 of the 12 city council members spoke to activists at a weekend protest and promised to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department as it exists now. And yes, they can do this if they want. 9 out of 12 votes would be a veto-proof supermajority. So if this does happen, what would a police-free future look like there? No one knows for sure. Council members haven't laid out a detailed plan, but some did give ideas, like having mental health professionals or social workers respond to certain emergencies instead of police. Supporters also say reform alone is not enough, since that hasn't worked in the past. They also say if money went to Black communities instead for things like schools, healthcare, and housing, crime would go down naturally. Council members are asking to hear more from the community over the next year about a better system for public safety. Then there's New York City. Mayor Bill de Blasio yesterday promised to at least cut some funding for the NYPD. He plans to divert money to youth and social services instead, but won't say exactly how much at this point. We'll find out soon enough, though, since the city's budget is due at the end of this month. And on the opposite side of the country, the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, says he's reversing his plan to boost spending for the LAPD. He wants to find another $250 million in the city's budget for healthcare, jobs, and so-called peace centers, and as much as $150 million of that would come from the police budget. Now, some say that's barely a dent in the police budget, but others are pushing back. The Los Angeles Police Union said budget cuts would be the, quote, quickest way to make our neighborhoods more dangerous. Specifically, the union said cuts would result in longer response times to 911 emergency calls, and that it would take a longer time to investigate cases like rapes, murders, and assaults. Many law enforcement officials around the country are echoing those concerns. And so is the Trump administration. The acting Homeland Security Secretary said on Fox News Sunday, it's absurd to talk about defunding police departments. He said it would only deprive officers of necessary training and leadership. Meanwhile, Democratic lawmakers, led by Black members of Congress, plan to unveil legislation today to address police violence and racial injustice on a national level. More details to come. The man whose death sparked the mass protests will be laid to rest this week. A public memorial will be held for George Floyd today in Houston, where he lived most of his life. Tomorrow, there will be a private funeral and burial. The New York Times reports former vice president and current presidential candidate Joe Biden will be meeting with the Floyd family in Houston today. And today also marks 14 straight days of protests. Over the weekend, huge crowds rallied and marched both in big cities and small rural towns all around the country. The majority of protests were peaceful and most curfews have been lifted. The AP reports there were even protests in communities that are mostly white and conservative that have not seen protests like this before. But one of the largest protests happened in Washington, D.C. on Saturday. Tens of thousands of protesters gathered outside the White House, and Republican Senator Mitt Romney was one of them. He's the first senator from the GOP to join protesters. He told the Washington Post he, quote, wanted to make sure people understand that Black Lives Matter. Despite it being one of the largest crowds of the weekend, President Trump said it was fewer people than expected. So now he says everything is under control, and he ordered National Guard troops to leave the nation's capital, though they can return if needed. The president has stayed focused on, quote, law and order. He tweeted those words 6 out of the last 7 days. The American city that was once the epicenter of the coronavirus epidemic is now reopening at least a little bit. New York City is lifting restrictions starting today. In the first phase of reopening, construction, manufacturing, and retail industries can restart as long as there are some safety precautions in place. In NYC and other cities around the country, health officials will be watching for signs of a possible second wave. Health experts have also warned recent protests could end up spreading COVID-19 due to the large crowds. But it could take a couple weeks before we really see exactly how big of an impact they'll have. As of early this morning, the U.S. death toll is up to nearly 111,000. Worldwide, it's now more than 400,000 people. Reports say in the past week, hotspots have started emerging in Latin America, Africa, and the Middle East. In fact, as the number of cases in Brazil surges, that country has stopped releasing all of its data. On the flip side, New Zealand has reportedly eradicated the virus for now, with the last known infected person recovering. Experts credit the country's isolated location and its quick action to lock down early in the outbreak. Well, back in the U.S., former Vice President Joe Biden officially secured enough delegates to win the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. In other words, he's officially the candidate to take on President Trump in November. Of course, this was already the case ever since Senator Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race back in April, but this really formalizes it. Biden is also getting new support from some career Republicans. Former President George W. Bush and GOP Senator Mitt Romney both said they would at least not support President Trump's reelection. And yesterday, Colin Powell, who served as Secretary of State under George W. Bush, went a step further. He said he'd be voting for Biden this November. President Trump responded on Twitter by calling Powell a real stiff and highly overrated. All right, we have more news coming up, but first let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor this week, Care.com. As the world's largest online destination for finding and managing family care, Care.com helps millions of families find high-quality care for their children, aging loved ones, home, and pets. For the parents who feel like you have too much on your plate right now and you need an extra hand so you can get back to work, turn to Care.com to find reliable sitters and nannies to help make workdays a little easier. Or maybe you just need a break from cleaning. You can get a housekeeper to help out. Whatever your needs, Care.com is a platform for finding all kinds of services: childcare, senior care, house care, and even pet care. In fact, it has the largest selection of local caregivers. I'm always impressed by how many types of services are available near me when I put in my zip code on Care.com. And while I don't have kids, I do have personal friends who use and appreciate Care.com to find their childcare. And right now, you can save 30% off a Care.com premium membership. Just go to care.com/newsworthy or use promo code newsworthy. Again, go to care.com/newsworthy or use the code newsworthy to save 30% off a Care.com premium membership. Now, back to the news. The co-founder and former CEO of the online community Reddit is now resigning from the company's board. The reason? Alexis Ohanian is urging the company to replace him with a Black candidate. He also says he's going to use future gains from his Reddit stock to benefit the Black community. Ohanian, who is married to tennis star Serena Williams, said he wants to be able to answer his daughter when she asks, "What did you do?" As TechCrunch points out, it's a high-profile move for a company that has had its own rocky track record around issues of race. When the NFL returns, some players might decide to kneel in protest again. Commissioner Roger Goodell said on Friday the league was wrong for not listening to players in the past. Remember, it was in 2016 that Colin Kaepernick started kneeling on the sidelines during the pregame national anthem. It was his way of protesting police brutality, and several players across the league joined him. Goodell did not specifically mention Kaepernick in Friday's video, but he did say that now all players will be encouraged to speak out and peacefully protest. He also said the NFL believes, quote, Black Lives Matter. President Trump lashed out against Goodell for a statement, saying he still believes it's wrong and disrespectful not to stand for the national anthem. UFC star Conor McGregor is retiring again. He made the announcement on Twitter, but we'll see if it actually sticks. McGregor also retired in 2016 and again in 2019, but he always comes back to fight. The 31-year-old is definitely considered one of the best in the UFC, and he brings in more money than any other fighter. But McGregor said yesterday that he's done for good and thanked fans for the memories. It's the stuff of movies. A chest filled with more than $1 million in gold and jewels was discovered in America's Rocky Mountain wilderness. ABC News reports the treasure chest was hidden by a famous art collector more than 10 years ago. He apparently wanted to create a modern-day treasure hunt, so he posted clues to its whereabouts both online and in a poem he published. And over the years, hundreds of thousands of people hunted for it. Some even quit their jobs in pursuit of it. It took more than a decade, but it was finally discovered last week. Whoever found it is choosing to stay anonymous for now, although the discovery has been verified by a photo. As for the man who set this all up, he says he's happy someone finally found the treasure, but also sad because the chase is over. And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today. But now it's time for Money Monday, where we talk about one interesting money-related news story. And today we're talking about how the world's richest are getting richer during this pandemic. A new report from the Institute for Policy Studies says U.S. billionaires have become $565 billion wealthier since mid-March. For example, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos got $36 billion richer, while Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg got $30 billion richer. CNN says this is mostly because of two things. One, the stock market has made a remarkable recovery. And two, big tech is thriving during this, helping tech leaders accumulate even more wealth. At least a little good news for the average American, though. May's unemployment rate did dip, indicating Americans are starting to get their jobs back. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. The Newsworthy is here for you to listen every weekday by 4 in the morning. As always, you can read more about any of the news stories mentioned at thenewsworthy.com/show notes. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.